Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. It's good to be here with you again this evening.
Good to be here, too.
How are you doing?
Real good. Thanks. If you were with us last week, and I'm sure you were, we were talking about unity and we were talking about division. And just to recap, we basically put it around 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 13, where Paul says, you know, I heard about these divisions. I don't like them. Some of you say you belong to Paul, Apollos, Cephas. Some of you say you belong to Christ. What's going on over there? Can't be divided. And in the name of Jesus, you can't have these divisions because we have to be united by the same message. We have to be united by the same belief. We have to be united in doing the work of the Great Commission. And keeping in mind, like we always say on our show, that we're imperfect messengers with a perfect message, the imperfect part of us likes to get involved with pride and division and saying to somebody, well, who do you think you are? I was doing this before you were born. I studied at this school and you didn't even go to school and I went to, but, and the next thing you know, you got two camps.
Yep. Happens a lot.
Yes.
Happens a lot. You know, you say that starting out, there's times where in ministry, where you go someplace and you're ministering and somebody asks you who you are and there's somebody there that's been ministering a lot longer than you and they let you know it.
Oh yeah.
Like, wow, thanks brother. Thanks for welcoming us here in the name of the Lord.
or some much younger person comes in and the older people say, listen here, son, this isn't how we do things here.
Exactly. It stifles the spirit real quick.
Yeah, and you've probably all been through that either in your church or your prayer group or your home group or your Bible study or wherever it is. And Paul was pointing out, you know, Paul wasn't crucified for you. You weren't baptized in the name of Paul. You know, these people were dividing themselves based on who their favorite teacher was, who their favorite leader was. I heard the message from Paul. Oh, well, I heard the message from Peter.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard the so, hey, you know what?
I know
I got the full message. I don't know what message you got because you heard it from Apollos and I don't know anything about him, but I got the message from Peter.
Yeah.
He was with Jesus for 3 years, so I'm going to guess he knows more of what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm following him.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on.
My favorite is Phil.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No.
Well, yeah, because you have Peter did walk with the Lord for 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul was going around persecuting Christians.
Yeah.
Killing them.
Yeah.
So, you might be following that guy that used to persecute Christians, but I follow the guy who denied him 3 times.
Yeah.
Oh, that's well, right. Wait a minute. Oh, sorry.
So now Apollos is looking better.
So Apollos, he's my guy.
Yeah. So, Peter said, in the name of Jesus, you can't have these things happen.
Right.
Because he knows that to be of one accord, you know, which comes from the Latin word for one heart, you want to have one heart, one accord. You want to be united in purpose. And as we said, you know, in Psalm 133 and in Acts chapter 2, this is when the Holy Spirit works.
Mm-hmm.
When we're of one accord, we're united in our purpose. And pride or following this leader or that leader, you set up little turfs for yourself. And if you have a strong leader, you say, ooh, he's naturally the leader.
Yeah.
The other guy's too soft-spoken. This guy's naturally the leader. And the divisions go.
Well, you know, we start to get into what the first apostles kind of got into, I think, with, they were looking for a leader that was going to restore the kingdom of Israel.
Yes.
And take it away from the Romans. Mm-hmm. You know, drive these Romans out of here. We're going to have our own camp. That's going to be great. And the paradox with Christ as the Savior and the Messiah is that he came to suffer. He came to serve.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to suffer
mm-hmm.
and die and be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, he was going to redeem his people, Israel, and all of us.
Yes.
So the image of this king, this conqueror, in worldly views, it has to be somebody that's strong,
mm-hmm.
somebody that can, you know, rally the people, that can organize them and, you know, take an army into battle and win. And Jesus comes in and it's not that way.
Yeah.
You know, but still humanly, I think on a human level, we look for that. You know, we look for that. Oh, that person's strong. They mm-hmm. they deliver the message. It's strong.
Sure.
And they, you know, and they speak well, and they're well polished.
He's authoritative.
And, yeah, authoritative.
Yeah.
And not boastful.
Mm-hmm.
And we fall into that.
Yeah.
I mean, we fall into that in a lot of areas of our culture. You know, whether it's church leaders, whether it's political leaders, whether it's any type of leadership, we look for people that are going to take authority and take charge.
Yeah.
That's not always to say that they're going to lead you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And we can fall prey to that. And that's what, you know, I believe that's what's happening here in the first, in this Corinthian, this community of Corinthians, is that they're trying to distinguish themselves as, I'm in this camp.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is where I'm at. And well, you guys are with Paul, you're with Peter,
yeah.
but I'm with Apollos. And, I wonder if there's anybody with Gift of Grace. And then, you know,
I didn't have any home groups then.
No, I don't think we did. And then I belong to Christ.
Yeah.
Well, Christ is the center. Christ is the whole reason for the message.
That's right.
Yeah. So how can you be divided against Christ?
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, he's, and as Paul takes this argument down, he says, is Christ divided? In other words, you're going with Paul, you're going with Apollos, you're going with Cephas. Is Christ divided?
Right.
He says, no, he's one. Mm-hmm. He's one, capital O.
Right.
And a Christian should be united. They should be of one heart because we have the same Lord.
Right.
Within the Trinity, within the Godhead, there's no division. There's
right.
one substance. There's
right.
one purpose. There's one... And we, on a considerably lesser level, should be one because we have the same Redeemer, Savior. We have the same gospel. We've been redeemed the same way. Mm-hmm. We haven't been redeemed by our own holiness or our own efforts, or we haven't earned it because we studied harder than the other guy. So we really, since we don't have anything to boast about, we should be united to spread the message.
Right.
You know, as you're saying, you know, he's the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Messiah. He's the one who's redeemed us. We should be consecrated to him. This is for him alone. We're not supposed to be consecrated to a human being to right. say, oh, I'm doing whatever he does. And, you know, you should be consecrated to the Lord. And mm-hmm. dividing... you know, loosens that bond between you and the Lord. Because now you say, well, yeah, I'm devoted to the Lord, but, you know, this guy over here, you know, I don't go to that church anymore. I'm going to this church. And these bonds of unity start to weaken. And he's pointing out Christ is one. He can't be divided.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and also in the early church, you know, you had Paul and Peter who... Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't until the Holy Spirit fell upon him at Pentecost that it came all together. You know, he experienced the love of God.
Yeah, he was a mess before then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when anybody's experienced the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the embrace of that divine love that you feel when God, you know, when God fills you with the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for myself, I know it changed my view of God, my vision of God, I should say.
Yeah.
Because God's merciful, but he's also just.
Mm-hmm.
He's compassionate. but he's also going to, you know, he's also going to correct you.
Yes.
And so, when, you know, these three men are preaching the gospel, they're preaching Christ and Him crucified, and they're going to different people because they're in different, you know, mm-hmm. different places. And, they're all of Christ, but yet the community doesn't understand that.
Right. Exactly.
They don't understand that, oh, Paul's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, Apollos is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Cephas is a disciple of Jesus Christ. They're all ambassadors of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And months ago we talked about what an ambassador is.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They're all ambassadors
exactly.
for Christ.
Good point.
But the community is seeing them as, they're not seeing them as one with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing them as, well, you know, Paul's got that bigger congregation over there, but, you know, Peter, he's got that, you know, he's got that little fishing boat over there. And you know, quite frankly, we don't like the water and the fish
yeah.
smell.
And, oh. he's not nearly as smart as Paul.
No. But that Apollos guy, you know, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they're not seeing the unity in Christ and through Christ that these three men died to themselves to rise yeah. again with Christ.
That's a great point about the ambassadors. They're all three ambassadors.
Yeah. and they all represent the same kingdom.
Right. That's right. They're not there with their own policies.
Right. They're there with the same exact message, but they are focusing on the man.
Yes. Exactly.
The individual.
Well put. And Paul tries to focus that by saying, was Paul crucified for you? Of course not, because there's only one Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul or Apollos or Peter, they didn't shed their blood for our redemption.
Right.
There's only one Savior. You know, we're not purchased by the blood of Paul or the blood of Peter
nope.
or the blood of Apollos.
No.
That doesn't do anything for us.
No.
They're great men, and we can learn from them, of course, and we can try to follow their example,
mm-hmm.
but they're not the ones that have saved us. We don't belong to them.
Right. They're not the ones that pay the ultimate price
That's right.
for our redemption.
We don't belong to them. You know, Paul and the other two are ministers of God. They're ministers of Jesus. And as you point out, they're his ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And the ambassadors can't be put in his place. When you had a king who sent an ambassador to another country, that ambassador spoke for the king. They didn't say, oh, this guy's the king too, because the king sent him. You know, he's a subservient
right.
servant.
Right.
And this is what these three were.
Right.
Jesus is the center. The cross is the center. Paul and Cephas and Apollos don't have don't have Jesus' authority.
Right.
But they represent him.
It would be like our Secretary of State or our Vice President in the United States saying, well, I'm here now, you know, forget about the president, but I'm the person now.
Yeah.
Without an election or something
right.
like that.
That
would be the equivalent of it.
That's right. That's right. And he says, you're not baptized in Paul's name.
Right.
You're not Paul's disciples. I mean, you may follow him, but when we're Christians, we belong to Christ, hence the name. So we're baptized into his name,
mm-hmm.
capital H.
Right.
Not Paul's name, Apollos' name, Cephas' name.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with respecting the person for what they're doing or how they're preaching, but you're not their disciple in the sense that you're Jesus' disciple.
Right.
He's the center.
And we see that in, you know, you don't have to go too far in a church group, in a church
yeah,
setting to
yeah.
see that there's little groups in within this, the confines of a church that they gravitate towards this one person. They gravitate mm-hmm. toward this person.
Sure.
And I've seen it in music ministry. I've seen it in a lot of different ministries. And quite frankly, all it does is divide the body up.
Mm-hmm.
Because who are you following? Well, I go to that prayer group because, well, they're my friends. And, you know, that prayer group over there, they try to steal our people.
Yeah.
Oh, did you shed your, did, Did you shed your blood for those people?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No? Oh, that's right.
They're not your people.
They're not your people. God redeemed them.
Yes.
You're there to shepherd them and disciple them and to set them free.
Yes.
And not put shackles and chains on them.
That's right.
You know, we get into the Pharisaical aspect of, I want to heap burdens on you so that you stay here.
Mm-hmm.
You're mine.
Mm-hmm.
I evangelized you. You're my catch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
You were a mess before you met me.
Yeah. Look at all I've done for you. Now, can you imagine if Peter would have said that to the 3,000 people who came to the church afterwards? You know, you guys didn't have anything before I gave that awesome sermon. And now you're following the truth. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know. So that's not what Christ calls us to. That's not what Christ calls any minister that ministers in his name to. That's not what he calls any disciple or any ambassador, which we all are. We're mm-hmm. ambassadors for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't have the proper perspective of who we are in Christ and where we are in the body of Christ, we're going to end up with divisions. We're going to end up with all this strife and all this turmoil that just robs, you know, it squelches the Holy Spirit. It squelches the movement of the Holy Spirit, and it really dampens or hampers what God can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It quenches the Spirit. It changes the whole mood in a place, and I'm sure it's happened to you. It's happened to me. I do so many ministries that are interdenominational, and then when somebody starts saying, oh, you know, those people at Church B over there, I say, stop. We're not going to do that here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to talk about that.
Right.
We're not going to talk about the difference between Church A and Church B. We're here to talk about Christ and his mission and his gospel. We're here to help spread the good news.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to criticize Group B because we're in Group A.
Yeah.
And we can't listen to that because it takes us off mission, off purpose, off track.
Right. And there's enough of that to go around.
Yeah.
There's enough of that that everybody's probably heard it
in
one place or another.
Of course.
And, you know, for me, what I always come back to is that, you know, Christ ransomed my soul at the price of his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to him. Mm-hmm. Are there persons in places of authority in the church that I have to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
Yes.
You know, but I respect them for who they are because they're proclaiming the gospel.
Yes.
But I don't gravitate to them and go, my salvation depends on this person.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why I'm following.
That's a good way to put it.
You know,
that's a good way to put it. And there are authority figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, if Paul walked into somebody's home group in Corinth, you know, the guy who was leading the home group might say, oh, we have Paul here. We're going to let him say something.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hear Paul Wilbur music.
Is this? Oh, it is.
This is. No, this isn't Paul Wilbur. Well, he's in a little bit of this.
Anyway,
check out giftofgraceministries.org. Go to wilburministries.com, too. And you'll find all kinds of cool CDs. Which CD is this on?
Your Great Name.
Your Great Name. Okay, we'll be back in just a minute.
I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty, the great I am.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. What a beautiful
song.
Wow,
that is an awesome song. Oof. Who sings that? Paul and Sharon?
Well, there's Sharon Wilbur, who is Paul's daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
And I never can remember the guy's name.
Sorry. And there's...
And Paul did a little bit of it.
Paul does a little bit of it. That's
I hope you enjoyed Paul Wilbur on our show.
So where can I get that at?
Oh, you can go to wilburministries.com and buy Your Great Name. That's the third song.
Third song, okay.
I smell like every order on every Beatles album, but I can tell you that's the third song on Your Great Name. That's what happens when your life changes.
Exactly.
Anyway, where were we? What are we doing? I forgot. Oh, yeah. We're talking about division.
We're in the studio talking about.
Oh, yeah. Divisions. Yeah. The Corinthian church, which was full of divisions. And and of course, that was that particular church in that particular city,
right?
But it applies to every church, every city, every group, every denomination, and even within small groups, you know,
right?
Even within home groups, Bible study groups, prayer meetings. I mean, whatever it is, there's a possibility of having divisions.
Sowing, you know, Satan wants to sow the seeds of discord.
That's right.
And disharmony, and it's nothing new.
That's
right. I mean,
he
did this in the garden with Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Did God tell you that?
Yeah. Did he really say that?
You know, and then when God questions Adam and Eve, you know, Eve, well, it was that serpent that told me. And then Adam goes, what was that woman you,
was
put, here
woman
with,
you put here
with me? Seeds of discord. So it's nothing new. It's the same old tactic, just recycled. And, you know, during the break, we were talking about 1 Corinthians 4. So I'm going to read that right now. Mm-hmm. Thus should one regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now it is, of course, required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. It does not concern me in the least that I be judged for you or any human tribunal, judged by you or any human tribunal. I do not even pass judgment on myself. I am not conscious of anything against me, but I do not thereby stand acquitted. The one who judges me is the Lord. Hmm. Therefore, do not make any judgments before the appointed time until the Lord comes. For he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will manifest the motives of our hearts. and then everyone will receive praise from God. I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, so that you may learn from us not to go beyond what is written, so that none of you will be inflated with pride in favor of one person over against another, who confers distinction upon you. What do you possess that you have not received? But if you have received it, why are you boasting as if you did not receive it? You are already satisfied. You have already grown rich. You have become kings without us. Indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we also might become kings with you.
Yeah.
For as I see it, God has exalted us apostles as the least of all, or the last of all, like people sentenced to death, since we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and human beings alike. We are fools on Christ's account, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clad and roughly treated. We wander about homeless, and we toil, working with our hands. When ridiculed, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we respond gently. We have become like the world's rubbish, the scum of all, to this very moment. I am writing you this not to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Even if you should have countless guides to Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, be imitators of me. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. He will remind you of my ways in Christ Jesus, just as I teach them everywhere in the church. Let me just finish this last. Some have become inflated with pride, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord is willing. And I shall ascertain not to talk of these inflated people, but their power. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Which do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love and a gentle spirit?
Wow, that's awesome.
There's a lot in there.
Look how many times the word pride is used.
And
look what he's saying about those that are apostles, which included him. Remember, we talked about how an apostle was called, and he was called. He said, I was called different than the other apostles, but I was called. Mm-hmm. And he says, look at there. We're walking around like condemned men. We're walking around like dead guys.
Right.
We're uncomfortable. We're homeless. We're cold. We're hungry. We're hot. We're uncomfortable. We get rebuke and ridicule everywhere we go. You know, they weren't walking around and people necessarily saying, oh, here comes Paul. Oh.
Yeah, as if they were welcoming them as these, you know, these, yes. Like a king or something.
That's right.
I mean, no different than the prophets in you know,
yes.
Prior to Christ, are they being treated? The prophets proclaimed the word of God. They spoke what God was placing upon their hearts. And they were persecuted.
Yes.
They were treated harshly. They were put to death.
Yes.
And the same thing is happening to those who are proclaiming Christ and speaking the gospel and proclaiming the gospel.
Yeah. And he's talking about how they're servants of the gospel.
Yeah.
They're servants of this gospel, servants of the believers. They're not walking around saying, here I am, I'm Paul. Here I am, I'm Peter. Everybody come over here and kneel down in front of me. This is not the authoritative thing. He says, you know, we're living very uncomfortable lives because we're preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not boasting of anything. Nobody should boast about us. We're just doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. And he's telling them, be imitators of me.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just said is a prime example of what they should be imitating. That Paul's life was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
He was being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And he was toiling for the kingdom.
Yes.
So, you brothers and sisters, toil for the kingdom.
Yes.
You know.
That's the mission.
That's the mission.
And you know, we're supposed to be servants and we're supposed to be workers.
Yeah. Serve God diligently and proclaim the gospel.
Right. And then as he points out, you know, it comes with power. The word brings power with it. You can hear somebody talk and talk and talk and talk. You can hear some very reputable theologian go on and on and on about some concept, and that's good. It's good to learn those things. But then on the other hand, you can have somebody come and say a simple prayer, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls on the group and people start praying and prophesying and praising, and you say, wow, this is power.
Right.
That other guy's talking a lot, but this guy, this is power here
right.
now.
Right.
And this is what he's saying there. You know, we don't boast about it
mm-hmm.
because we're servants.
Right.
We're, like you said before, we're ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
We're not walking around saying, oh, I'm with Paul. Because after all, Paul saved me and Paul did the other thing. And oh, I'm with Paul.
Right.
Then you've missed the whole point of what the message is.
And none of these apostles, none of them were preaching that they were the source of salvation. That
right.
they were, hey, I'm Paul, and you know, I'm preaching salvation here, so you know, come to my church.
Yeah.
And listen to what I got to say, because you're gonna get to heaven faster with me than you will, you know, Apollos or
yeah.
that other guy.
Yeah. And he talks too about, you know, we shouldn't be judging each other along those lines
right.
because God's gonna judge that in his appointed time.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to go, when you die, you want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. You don't want him to say, you know, because of you, the body was divided even more. And because of you, all this discord and division came into this body. Ooh, you don't want to hear that. You want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You want to be approved, you know, as a steward. You know, he uses the word steward a couple of times. You know, a steward is somebody who takes seriously what their job is and takes care of what he's supposed to do. And that doesn't include getting a following of people to follow you as their leader, because as he said back in the first chapter of Corinthians, well, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Is Christ divided? No. So why are we dividing the body of Messiah, where Christ Messiah is one? It's not for us to be dividing it up into thousands of pieces.
Right. You know, what's coming to me right now is what's in the 17th chapter of Luke in this is starting at verse 7. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing mm-hmm. or tending sheep in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.
Mm.
Paul states over and over, I'm obliged.
Yes.
I'm obligated to preach the
yes.
gospel.
Yeah.
Woe to me if I don't do it. And this is what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he's talking about. That Jesus' teaching right here is that I've been called to minister in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't do it, woe is me.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be judged harshly for that. So I can't boast of, hey, Lord, did you see? I went out to all these cities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul, I know I asked you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it.
I did it really well.
I did it really well. That's not the attitude of a servant.
Right.
You know, so that's what Paul is saying here is, we're servants of the Lord. I'm obligated because of what Christ did for me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, and that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, the attitude of understanding that, and this is where the community is, you know, a little bit, they seem a little bit off, is that they're not understanding that Christ purchased their souls at the price of his own blood. And this is what this is the message that Paul is bringing to them. This is the message that Apollos is bringing to the people that are hearing him. And yet they have this unclear understanding of these are three ambassadors of the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know? Good point.
And they're unprofitable servants.
Yes.
And how many, you know, honestly, how many people in the church today in leadership positions or not in leadership positions go and say, you know, I'm just an unprofitable servant. I'm only doing what I'm supposed to be, what God's asking me to do.
Yeah.
You know, there would be probably a lot less division if we had a fuller understanding of that.
Right.
As opposed to, Hey, I'm leading the prayer group.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to be at the conference and I'm going to be playing the guitar. Hey, I'm going to be at the conference and I'm speaking. Hey, I'm doing this and I'm doing that.
That's
are
right.
You, are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it because your Facebook page is going to fill up with friends? Are you doing it because you want the glory? Are you doing it because God commanded you to do it and you're boasting about God and not yourself?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It's pride always rears its ugly head.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It
and,
can.
And this is, you know, Paul speaks so eloquently about this, and he was very clear to make it understood that not only was he obligated to preach the gospel, but it wasn't his word that was being preached. It wasn't his eloquence that was doing it. It wasn't his intelligence, his education, the fact that he was, you know, the most zealous Pharisee or the smartest Pharisee or whatever he was, and he knew however many languages he knew, and he could write so much better than those other guys. That was not the issue. The issue was that he was obligated to preach the gospel. He was an ambassador. He was a servant. He was a steward. And what he's trying to get across to the church in Corinth, which applies to us, is that's what you have to keep in mind, not the divisions that come by following leaders. And when he says, you know, he goes back where he says, well, were you baptized in Paul's name? Well, you know, in that same chapter, in starting in verse 14, he talks about how he hasn't really baptized very many people.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at it, the way he phrases that, is he looked at that as being providential, that he hadn't baptized a lot of people. He said, I wasn't sent to baptize. I was sent to preach the message.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want that to be a distraction. Now, can you imagine somebody saying, oh, yeah, you know, I went to one of Paul's meetings, and I got saved there, and he baptized me. I got baptized by Paul. Who baptized you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there was Joe over there. Joe over there. I got baptized by Paul. So, you know, I mean, this would be, you know, like somebody saying, hey, I got baptized by the Pope, or hey, I got baptized by Billy Graham,
yeah,
or hey, who'd you get baptized by? that's not the point. And so Paul says he didn't want this to be a distraction. He wasn't making his own disciples. He was there to preach the word. Because, he says, you can't take power away from the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to rob the cross of its power by his eloquent words or by baptizing everybody he came in contact with or by having people, by telling people, hey, now that I've preached you this message and I've baptized you, follow me and we're going to go over there.
Right.
He didn't want to rob the cross of its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thankful that he hadn't baptized all these people.
Right.
He was thankful that he kept his focus, as he told the Corinthians, I preach Christ and Christ crucified.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know Christ and Christ crucified. That's what I talk about, because that's what's important. So the former Pharisee, who now is totally transformed, understands that by the cross, not only is he saved, but he can get other people saved. And he doesn't want to be a distraction by being the leader that people are following. And I think he does a great job in this, well, the whole book of doing this.
Yeah. And I mean, in a lot of Paul's writings, you see that where he, you know, he talks about, mm-hmm. like in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about love.
Yeah.
The greatest of these is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have wisdom and knowledge and I have all these things, I can be just a clashing gong or a clanging cymbal. Mm-hmm. I can go around making a lot of noise, a lot of fanfare.
Yeah, sure.
And hey, look at me. But when it comes down to it, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And the message I preach is nothing.
Yep.
If I'm not willing to lay down my life for my brethren, and we're, you know, and Paul says, I wish I was accursed that my brethren would have salvation.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so he's not only speaking the message, he's living it from within his heart.
Yes.
And that's what God calls us to do.
Yeah. And that's why over and over again he says there's no room to boast.
Right.
Where's boasting?
Right.
I mean, of anybody who, he says, if anybody could boast, it could be me.
Right.
I could go around boasting.
Exactly.
But there is no boasting. And this is what is supposed to prevent the divisions. Ooh. And listening to Paul Wilbur music can prevent divisions too.
Yeah.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Find their way. condemned. Feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Boy, is that an awesome song.
That is an awesome song.
And that is a great CD called Your Great Name.
Can I tell you the story behind that song?
Please do.
Christy Murdoff, the co-writer of that song with Michael Neal, she was she had a Lyme's disease. She was bitten by a tick and had it for like 3 years and went through various treatments and wasn't healed. And then a friend of hers called her to a healing service, and the Lord healed her. She came to a passage of scripture where it said, I know this affliction is not for to end in your doom or despair, but it's for the it's to glorify God.
Wow.
And so she took that as God's promise to her. And
wow.
From that, she started getting the verses, and the then the refrain came, and so the song just took off, and it
wow.
you know, glorifies God. It's glorifying God just as she got that
wow.
word.
Wow.
So
I'm sure
awesome
many
song.
Of you have experienced healings yourselves or have seen people or family members or good friends healed, and it's quite an amazing thing. You've
yes,
had that experience, Steve, and
yeah.
I've had that experience in my own family, and we've had that experience in prayer groups and home groups. And
mm-hmm.
and when somebody is clearly healed, it's really
oh man,
an awesome
it's,
thing.
It's yeah, it's just – it's awesome. It is. It's just – words sometimes can't describe it. It's
yes.
just –
yeah, and
the mighty
you
work
know,
of the Lord.
On a personal note, with my own grandson who had an amazing healing, you know, mm-hmm. There are people who work at university hospitals who are not believers,
mm-hmm.
and even though this happened now 4 years ago, they still come to me and say, "We just can't believe I mean, we don't understand what happened. It was just, I go, well, I can tell you what happened. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, you know, there's that amazement of the power of God.
Yes. And then if you say, well, we have people praying for this, they kind of say, oh, well, you know, yeah, whatever helps. But, wow, that was really amazing. But, you know, and you know, that just to finish up with a couple things about Paul, you know, if his eloquence and his debating skills would have converted people, you know, they would have stuck with him rather than stuck with Jesus. Because he would have been their guy. After all, you know, Paul converted me. And Greeks loved this. You know, Greeks were very intellectual. They loved debating skills and they loved eloquent speakers. And then he says the power of the cross would be minimized by that.
It would be empty.
Would be minimized. It would be emptied of its meaning, he says. Because it wouldn't be a supernatural thing for somebody's debating skills to convert you.
Exactly.
And he's very serious about this. And the point about the cross, and of course, you know, we did a whole series on the cross being the center, and I don't remember what years when it was, but you can go on the website and find it. Yeah. And I think there were 9 parts to it, but the cross is the instrument of salvation. Mm-hmm. And it's the sign of God's amazing love.
Yeah.
It's incomprehensible. And that this is why this is the center. And it's, to use a word, the crux, which of course is the Latin word for cross. Mm-hmm. We say something's the crux of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to that the cross is the center. It's the important part. It's the instrument of salvation, the plan of salvation. And this is what Paul's trying to focus people on. It's not about the leader or who led you there.
Right.
It's not about who told you something or who played the song or, you know, who said the thing. The cross is the center. And he wants divisions to be prevented or to stop because he himself, he put all his learning, all his skills, all his intellect aside because now he knew what salvation was. And he wanted to save the people he came in contact with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, he says, although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all so as to win over as many as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he, you know, Paul came to people where they were at.
Yes.
And he brought the message of salvation to them. And as we've said many times, you know, the message of salvation is quite simple, a message of, there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's the core of the message in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to wash us of our sins by his blood.
Yes.
And if we dilute that message with bitterness and hostility and rivalries, we're going to stand accountable.
That's right. Or if our pride, our intellect say, well, you know what? I'm way more educated than that guy. So what's he think he's doing? I'm the one who's intellectual. I'm the one who's educated. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who went to the, whatever it is, the university, the Bible college, the seminary, whatever it is. I know way more than that guy does.
Right.
You know, Paul says you can't do that because it's not a matter of intellect. It's not a matter of eloquence. And then, you know, he quotes from Isaiah, who happens to be my favorite major prophet. Isaiah 29:14, he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. This is God speaking. Because you can't reason out the cross.
No.
You can't set up an intellectual argument to describe the cross. It's something that is so out of our intellect and out of our mental abilities.
Right. It is.
That, you know, it can't be planned out, reasoned out. And what you're looking at, what Paul's preaching by what he tells these Corinthians, the fact is that there's a crucified Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a crucified Savior. There's a blood sacrifice by the perfect victim. And it's not a matter of the oratory or the intellectual. This is the plan of salvation. It can't be eclipsed by these other divisions.
Right.
Nothing can explain it.
Right.
Nobody would make that plan of salvation.
Right.
Whether you're Billy Graham or the Pope or the Dalai Lama or whoever you are, you wouldn't make this plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But this supersedes everything. And we don't add to it by our intellect.
Exactly.
We can't explain it by our intellect. We can't say, oh, I got this all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the case. There's no way we can do this. And
right.
Paul knows this, and he says, I preach Christ as Christ crucified. God's made the wisdom of this world foolish. Because mm-hmm. in our wisdom, we can't save ourselves. With our wisdom, we can't save anybody else. Only the cross, only Christ on the cross can save people. And if you're listening out there and you don't have a clue what we're talking about, you have to think about this. You have to think about where you stand in God's kingdom. You have to think about how you stand before God and how you can make yourself right. And you can't be right by learning more about God. And you can't be right by reading a couple more books about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be right by going to church once in a while.
Right.
You're saved by the cross. You're saved by the blood sacrifice on the cross.
Right. And, you know, faith is not a matter of how much knowledge you have about Christ. It's about knowing the risen Lord and encountering him, that he can change you and make you into his image.
Woo! It's the end already.
I know.
We must have done at least one of them or show.
Yeah,
anyway,
I think so.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon you to give you the wisdom and knowledge of salvation through Christ our Lord, whose cross has forgiven us of our sins. Have a great weekend. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.